Do not confuse this with treatment or mental health advice or direction. Nothing on this podcast is made to supplement or supersede the relationship and direction of your mental health caretakers. Although David Koslowski is a licensed marriage and family therapist, he is not functioning as a certified mental health professional in this environment. And same applies to any professional who may appear on the OG Therapy Podcast. Welcome to the OG Therapy.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of OG Therapy. And today I got a special episode for all you parents out there who have kids who are in sports, music, any sort of performance where they're going to be getting judged, where they have to try out, they're going to be competing. This episode is for you. But before I start the episode, I want to give a big shout out to these people right here. See, let me move the microphone over here. The Faux Movement. So I want everybody to know that there is a movement specifically that's come out of Southern California that's very dear to my heart. This is a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Give a really long story short, a bunch of men in the prison system in California. These are Polynesian men, predominantly Samoan, but also Tongan and other Polynesians as well. They found out that in the prison system, they had a very unique relationship with the different races and the different people in the prison system. They did a great YouTube documentary about it. A couple of documentaries have been done about this. You should go check it out. Just put FOU movement inside of YouTube. You'll see the videos come up. But long story short, what happened was they came out of prison and they saw that so many people were going back into prison, and they wanted to help specifically the Polynesian community to not go back into prison, to get jobs, to be able to get clean and sober, whatever it was that they were doing that they were struggling with that was causing them to go back to prison. They wanted to rectify that and make it better and provide resources for other young Polynesians who were potentially going to be getting into the legal system because they're gang-related instances, or they're just crime, stuff like that. So they want to not just help people that were getting out, stay out, but also helping young people to never get in. So that's their youth outreach program. So go check them out on Instagram, Facebook, on YouTube, called the Faux Movement. It's a much longer word than that, but I know a lot of you Palangis can't pronounce that. So I'm just saying a Faux Movement for everybody out there. Go check them out. Like I said, they're doing great work with recidivism in prison. They're also doing great work in outreach programs, specifically with youth, and also for drug and alcohol rehabilitation. I follow all the stuff they do, so I just want to give them a quick shout out. Go check them out. Okay. Now, let's get back to you parents out there. Specifically, this is probably more related towards sports parents. I took a couple notes here, you guys, of some things I've worked with my clients throughout the years that really helped them out the most. But really, this is coming from me personally. Now that my kids are old enough to be getting into competition sports, there's a definite difference between having fun and doing a sport because you enjoy doing it, and then the pressure to perform at a very high level of that sport. I think it's safe to say every parent that's listening to this will agree with me. When we were younger growing up, I'm 50 years old now, so if you're 40, like in your 50s, 40s, or even 30s, when we were growing up, there was always parents putting their kids in sports and activities, and there's always money required for that. But usually you signed your kid up for little league football, basketball, soccer, whatever it was. They said, okay, here's the fee. You pay the fee. And then after that, you go ahead and you get your kids all set up for whatever they needed to do. But nowadays, it's a little bit more complex. Nowadays, most sports, except for maybe football, are pretty much all year round. If you want to get really good at swimming, running, there's always cross training. There's former professionals that now do private lessons. I remember growing up, I had two brothers that played in the NFL. They never played catch with me. They never taught me how to play football. And I mean that literally. I was never taught anything about football from my older brothers. One, they're a lot older than me. Two, they weren't really the nicest guys in the world for a little kid at that moment. And, you know, they're busy, right? So when I grew up, and I assume when most of you guys grew up, we did not have professional athletes giving us private tutoring. We did not have parents that were spending thousands of dollars on top of the registration fees. That's right. I said thousands of dollars. I have a family member right now. I'm not going to give up their name. But he shared with me, with all of his kids, all the people in his family, if just from the beginning of last summer all the way, so last August till this August, they have spent over $140,000 in flights for all their kids to fly around to all of the different sporting events and tournaments, what have you. I mean, he's got a lot of kids and they're all very high level athletes. And so because of that, they're traveling all around the country. Over $140,000. Now, granted, fortunately for them, they have the ability to do that. However, most people, and trust me, even though he has the ability to do that, he's like, he doesn't want to keep on doing that. That's not something that's, you know, he wants to do. It's just something that was required to do. So I tell all this to you guys because there's a lot more effort and there's a lot more that are done for our kids today than ever before. And that's good. And at the same time, that's also bad. Because if things cost more, there's more pressure that you want to return on your investment. So we're spending tons of money on our eight, nine-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds to be really good at a sport. We're going to want money on that investment. If we spend $5,000 on a brand new Sony 4K TV with all the bells and whistles on it, we expect it to work really well for longer than a couple months. We don't want to just get it for it to break down on us. We want our investment back from that. So the things I wrote down for you guys, just some simple basic things. If you're hearing this and if you're like, oh my gosh, this is my husband or my wife or this is my neighbor, and you want to share this with them, please do share with them. Just, you know, make it kind of not, kind of do it subtly. Don't make it sound too much like, hey, it's all your fault. Unless they got a good sense of humor, unless they know they're having issues with it. So here's the top four that I came up with. Number one, sideline behavior. When you are parents, always imagine that someone is recording you while you're watching your kid do the sport. The reason why this is helpful to imagine that you're being recorded is because you might actually be recorded. In today's world, everyone's got their phones out for different things. Sometimes people are spanning around. My son had a jiu-jitsu tournament a couple weeks ago, and I was just kind of like turning around like this with the phone. I heard some parents like arguing, so I turned the phone back towards them. If I was a bad dude, I could just post this thing online, and this parent, even though I don't know who they are, this parent would be very embarrassed of their behavior. They're yelling at the referee, arguing. They stopped the whole entire jiu-jitsu tournament for like 5-10 minutes because they're having like this big hissy fit. And guess what? Their kid was probably about 6 or 7 years old. There's no Olympic gold medal at stake. The kid wasn't hurt. It was the parent just felt something was unfair. They brought up how unfair they felt it was. The ref explained to them, hey, listen, this is just the way I saw it. And then they go, well, I don't see it that way. You should do that. And they just basically kept everybody hostage because they wanted to argue. So sideline behavior. Here's what I want you to do. Focus on, if I'm being recorded, is this how I want to act? Number two. When you start thinking about being recorded, this should also bring something else up to your mind that you should be very concerned about, is your reputation with the team, with the other players, and with the coach himself. Your behavior represents your kid. Your kid represents the team. The team is not one person, it's multiple people. You don't want to be that parent that's the squeaky wheel, always complaining, always yelling. If you have frustrations, if you have all these things going on inside of you that you're pissed off and angry and frustrated about, great. Just don't let the whole world know it. Don't show your hand. Pretend this is like poker. You start getting all emotional, start yelling, and start getting all worked up about every little thing. People aren't going to take you serious when there is something serious going on. So it's kind of like the boy who cried wolf. If you want the refs to take you serious, if you want your coach, your kid's coach to take you serious, if you want other parents and other people on the team to take you serious, only get mad and only get frustrated occasionally, or at least only show it occasionally. And then on top of only showing occasionally, when you do get mad or frustrated, talk to the people, the refs, the coaches, in a timely manner, meaning if there's a jiu-jitsu match or basketball game going on right now, at that time is not the time to talk to them. Tell the coach, hey, listen, can I talk to you before practice next week? Can I talk to you this weekend? And you may think that you need to talk to the coach at that particular moment. The truth of it is you do not need to talk to the coach at that particular moment. You want to talk to the coach at a particular moment. And I can tell you the probability of you saying things off the cuff, probably the probability of you saying things you will regret, the probability of you doing something and saying something that's going to make your kid embarrassed is very high. So sideline behavior, make sure that you're always thinking about, is someone videoing me? Is someone recording me? And if you're going to be angry and you're going to be upset, make sure you share that with whoever you want to talk to in the proper channels. If you write a letter, if you send an email, if you do these things, you may think that's not powerful enough. It's not, you know, it's not going to be heard enough. Don't try to skip over someone and go to their boss. If you're in a work situation, you're mad at your manager and you never talk to your manager about it, you go straight to their boss and you narc them out. Now you just ruin the opportunity for you to ever rectify that relationship and have things cool with you and the manager. So if you go above the coach's head and you go to the people who run the league, all those things, that should be after you've taken every single step to get your point across and no one is taking you seriously. Document everything you do, parents. If there's something that you talk to a coach about for your own mental well-being, not to take it to court of law, because nobody in the court's going to care about a 7-8-year-old argument with the coach. But document, say, on this date on your phone, say, I talked to the coach and I brought up this. On this date, I send an email. Sometimes we need a paper trail for ourselves to see what we've done and what we haven't done. Because if you just try to log in every time you've been mad about a certain situation, about your kid's team, it could be the coach, the performance, the plays, whatever it may be. If you just log it mentally inside your mind, the next time you get mad, you're like, oh, this is still going on. They still haven't changed it. They still haven't done anything about it. Well, maybe you haven't done anything about it, so get pissed off, argue, throw a temper tantrum, and embarrass your kid. So that's what I suggest you guys do with that one. You definitely want to make sure that when you're having these opportunities, you want to communicate these things to people at the time you should be communicating. Okay? Second one, beware of over-communicating with coaches. No matter what the sport, no matter what it is, if you are talking to the coach all the time, hey, just want to give you a little bit extra information. Hey, I want to give you this. Hey, I thought this would help you out. If you want to be of help to the coach, the first thing you should do before you give all your amazing ideas about what offense they should run, about all these different changes they should make, you should go to the coach and say, hey, listen, I know I'm not a coach. I know I'm just a parent. And I know that, you know, like, you know, it doesn't help if parents are always involved in everything, if they're getting in the coach's ear. I was wondering, is there anything that I could do as a parent to help support you as a coach, to help the team in general? It could be maybe organizing some, you know, some get-togethers afterwards, a little pizza party. Maybe it's making sure everybody has their snacks, whatever. Are there some things I could do to serve you to make your job easier? The reason why you should start off with that is because people are more likely going to help someone who is of help to them. So if you're helping the coach, that's great. But don't assume that you know what the coach needs help with. In fact, some coaches don't want the parents to give them all this detail and information. Some coaches get like a little overwhelmed with that. So if you want to help the coach, tell the coach, hey, I have a desire to help. You know, here's the things I'm good at. But also, here's the things I'm thinking about how I could have helped or how I could be of help. Do you need any of these things? Is this something you'd like me to do, or is this something you're totally fine, you got to take care of? Give ideas, give suggestions, but offer help first. The reason why you should do that is because if you've listened to any of my other podcasts, if you want influence over someone, aka power over someone, you got to first allow them and what they want, what's important to them, to first have influence over you. So ask the coach what you could do. Ask the coach how you could be a better help to make their life as a coach easier. And then you'll have a seat at the table. Then you'll have them considering, if you do have a complaint, if you do have a concern, you have a closer relationship with the coach. So now they'll more likely listen. Okay. Next one, number three, don't coach after practice. I have this saying with all my clients, no counseling after counseling, or no therapy after therapy. What I mean by that, for you parents out there, is no practice after practice. No coaching after the coach went home and you went home. Most parents want to influence their kids, their behavior on the field, whatever it is they're doing. Most parents want to help their kids. And in desire to do that, you have great ideas. You have things like, oh, if you would have just done this, it would have helped you in this category. Or, well, why did you miss that block? Or why did you take that shot? Like, didn't you know that's not what you're supposed to do? If you can see me right now and you could see my facial expressions, it's like, wait, what? Like, why did you do this? All the looks that you're giving your kid as a parent, like I said earlier, your face is a mirror to them. All the looks you're giving to them when you want them to get better, when you're stressed out that they're going to miss something, all comes across to your kid as they are the problem. Something's wrong with them. I can tell you guys, this one is really, 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 really hard for me to do. I have a kid that, I got two kids in swimming, competitive swimming. They're doing great in that. I don't know a lot about swimming, so let my wife take over on that one, okay? I got a son who's heavily into jiu-jitsu, loves it a lot, is competing a lot, having a lot of fun. And I've made it not fun for him at times. Luckily, I have a son who's a lot like my wife, and if he doesn't like something that I'm doing, he tells me. See, if my wife doesn't like anything, if I don't like something she's not doing or that she's doing or I want her to do differently, I don't say much. That's my issue. That's my problem. But thankfully, my son has told me multiple times, saying, "Dad, like, you're kind of stressing me out right now. Can we not talk about this?" After his last jiu-jitsu tournament, I started talking about the next tournament, which is a month away, and he's like, "I just want to enjoy this. I want a gold medal. I just want to enjoy this." And I remember sitting there going, "Oh my gosh, I need to do a podcast on this. I'm literally doing what I know I shouldn't do. The kid freaking won a gold medal. What am I? Well, how is he supposed to do better? I'm criticizing what he did wrong when he won the gold medal." It's like, and we do this as parents. We're like, "But we don't want our kids to forget something. We don't want them to not remember something." So what I'm telling you guys is don't coach your kids after practice. But I do know that you guys have some things you want to say, because like most coaches and most people, you just can't help yourself, right? So here's what I want you to do. Play the highs and lows game with them. Tell your kids after practice, say, "Hey, we don't need to talk about practice, or we don't need to talk about the game right away. But at some point, I would like to talk to you just about the highs and lows." See, the same thing about the highs and lows is they're just going to tell you what they felt went good about the game, about the practice, and what they felt didn't go good. But the rules of highs and lows is once they're done talking, you don't get to tell them, "Yeah, but don't you think you could have done this better?" Or like, "I mean, I get what you're saying. Like, you probably could have done this differently, but you didn't even mention that you forgot to do this during the game." That's not how highs and lows works. How highs and lows works, it's their own processing. They take the initiative to point out the things that they think are important, things that they think are not important. A couple times I had to do my own highs and lows because my son first started doing jiu-jitsu. Then because I'd done jiu-jitsu off and on for years, I thought that I need to pull up all his YouTube videos. I need to show him all these techniques. I was overloading him with too much information. If your kid's in football, basketball, soccer, no matter what it is, if you have the internet and you have this thing called YouTube, you can also make the same mistake. So when I was giving him all these videos, it just got too much for him. He said, "Dad, this is too much. You're stressing me out. Like, it's just too much for me to think about." And then I realized jiu-jitsu is so complicated. There's so many small, intricate parts and details to it. It's unlike other team sports where they kind of know what's going to happen every single time. Like, people take turns, right? So it's very unpredictable in that way. And luckily for me, I listened to him and I realized I was giving him too much. So for the first 6 months of him doing jiu-jitsu, I just kind of backed off, didn't say anything. That's what I want you guys to do. If you have information, if you have videos, and if you have things that you want to communicate to your kids, great. But let them have a certain level of competency before you start sharing deeper dives on techniques, on regardless what the sport is. That leads to the next one. If you're not doing that one and you're coaching after practice, and hopefully I don't have to tell you guys, don't yell at your kids when they make a mistake. Don't tell them, "What the hell's wrong with you? Why would you do that?" What you guys are doing in those situations is you're embarrassing yourself. You're embarrassing your kid. Every parent, and if you're one of these parents, I'm not calling you a bad parent. I'm just telling you what you probably need to hear. Okay. Where hopefully you're humble enough to hear this, because I'm not criticizing you. I'm just trying to help you. If you're yelling, if you're frustrated, you lose your cool at a contest and a competition, at a practice, whatever, you are the biggest problem in your kid's development in that sport and that thing they're doing. You're going to make your kid want to quit more than any hard practice that they can go through. You're going to make your kid doubt themselves, second guess themselves, and not believe that they have what it takes to be good on their own. You're going to teach your kid how to be either codependent upon your advice, or you're going to teach them to be, what's the opposite of resilience? You're going to teach them how to be fragile. You're going to teach them how to be, see themselves as a mistake that always needs correction. Or you just may teach them that this is not for them. And if doing this sport, if doing this activity means fighting and arguing, getting yelled at you by all the time, then they're not going to want to do it. I remember when I was younger, I quit playing football and basketball for a couple seasons simply to just surf. And I was going to compete in surfing too. But the one thing I realized is that at surfing, people weren't yelling at me all the time. People weren't telling me I need to be more like my brothers. People weren't criticizing every little thing I did. Surfing was more of like kind of a natural soul sport, right? So I really gravitated towards that. I eventually came back to playing other sports. But my point in telling you guys this is that if you're one of those parents that really wants your kid in a sport, you better hide that better. You better pull that back and show interest in it. Show that you care about it, but don't show that you care about it more than you care about them. Because if you're so focused on their performance being the determining factor of you're happy or not, they don't have to be older than a couple years old to start to pick up that if I don't do good at this thing, mom and dad's unhappy. If I do good at this, they are happy. Either way, it puts them in a very difficult position. Your kids are going to already want to make you happy. They're going to already want to bring honor to the family name and wear your name on the back of the jersey and have you guys be proud of them. They are so stressed out about being high performers anyways. Allow them to just have fun. So the just have fun one. This is a difficult one, especially when your kids are a little bit younger coming into the older stages, because everybody knows that people do sports because they're fun. But as a former athlete, I can tell you there's a time where most athletes will say it just wasn't as fun anymore. For me, it was when I got to college. High school football was fun because I got away with not even having to train hard. I didn't even start lifting weights until I was about to go to play football in college. Didn't even take that serious. Didn't even try that hard. So, of course, it was fun because it didn't challenge me that much. Well, I went to college, became very challenging, didn't like it, didn't have fun anymore. So, for parents, the best thing that you can do, and this is the last thing I'll share with you on this list, number four is to make this fun for your kids. Even though it's competitive, even though it's something that you want them to do really well at, instead of just ask them questions before a game to make sure they remember the plays or remember their assignments, make it fun. I have a couple of parents, really diehard football parents, that have came up with some cool games with their kids to help them remember the responsibilities on the field. Kind of like a bingo, so to speak, one family came up with it. Another family just started asking questions like a quiz. And then if they answered so many questions right the first time, then after practice, they could go grab an In-N-Out burger. You have to be creative to make it fun. Now, some parents out there will say, well, it can be fun, but if it's only fun, then they're not going to get enough training time. True. Some coaches, some teams, they do too much fun and not enough training, right? Especially with the kids who are really younger. I get it. That happens in my son's sport, jiu-jitsu, all the time. You got half the kids over here, probably 80% of the kids, just kind of goofing around, having fun. They don't realize what they're learning, how to protect themselves and how to not get killed and possibly save their life someday. They're just having like fun. Well, then you get other kids over on the other side where they're intense and they're like, they got that like drive. They like want to learn how to fight. They like they want to be the best that they can at that thing. Even those kids who want to train hard all the time, you still got to make it fun for them. Otherwise, they're going to get burned out. So you guys, number four, the reason why fun is so important is because at any stage of the game, you take the highest level football players, basketball players, no matter what it is, they always have to introduce fun into every practice because they will be so burned out. If you get burned out at 12 years old, good luck making it to 16. If you get burned out at 6 years old, you're definitely not going to even do it anymore. All right. So those top four for you guys right there, for all of you parents that want to be helpful to your kids in their activities, specifically sports activities, any sort of competition, follow these steps. Make sure that you're not stepping out of your own boundaries. Remember, you are the support person for your kids. You're not the coach. And if you are a parent who's actually the coach of the team, you should follow my advice even more so. When you leave practice, don't keep on coaching your kid just because you're the coach. Leave the coaching on the field or designated times. If you want to do like a little practice with your kids every 5 to 6 p.m. at night when you don't have the normal practice, that's fine. But when you say 5 to 6, we're going to do drills, just do it 5 to 6. Don't do it 5 to 7:30 or just until they get tired. Give them structure so they know when to expect to be doing the sports, when to expect to have fun with the sports, and also that they can not be embarrassed by their parent. Make sure that you're communicating to their coaches and to them at the right times and the proper channels, so you're not that parent that everybody else is embarrassed to be around, including your spouse, including some of your own friends who may have kids on the team as well. So you guys, that's my advice for you guys for OG Therapy Podcast today on coaching your kids without being their coach, helping them without doing it for them, without stressing them out in the processing and burning them out. So as always, you guys can follow us on OG Therapy Podcast on any platform and on social media. It's my own personal platform. You can follow me. It's David_KOZLOWSKI. If you want to watch the videos of these episodes, you go to Patreon. It's a paywall. It costs $5 a month. It has almost three years of video content, which most of it is not on the social media platforms. All you got to do is go to www.patreon.com/OG Therapy. And as always, you guys, when it comes to coaching, when it comes to teaching, when it comes to anything with your kids, if you're getting stressed out, you're frustrated, and you get down on your knees, you're saying, please, Lord, baby, Jesus, Buddha, Allah, everybody, please help me with my teens and my kids. Just remember, all you got to do is press play and listen to your OGs. Until next time, be cool.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.